The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Our scripture reading is Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Thus far we read the sacred scripture this evening. It's on the basis of Psalm 143 and all of inspired scripture that the Catechism presents to us the instruction found in Lord's Day 49. Lord's Day 49, one question and answer, which is the third petition. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will, and without murmuring, obey thy will, which is only good. That so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, each one of us has a will. God has a will. And the third petition of the Lord's Prayer is a desire for the aligning of our will with God's will. The will is that faculty whereby we desire and determine to do something. We all have a will. For example, when we drive into a parking lot, whether that be at church or in any public place, we choose which parking spot we want to park in. We have a desire and a determination to do something, and then we do it. Perhaps the lot is full and we have a will to do something, but we're not able to do it. Nonetheless, we have a desire and determination to do. With our will, we make choices. We desire, we determine, we plan, we resolve to do. We were created with a pure will that was in perfect conformity to God's will. Article 14 of the Belgic Confession begins, "We believe that God created man out of the dust of the earth, and made and formed him after his own image and likeness, good, righteous, and holy, capable in all things to will, agreeably to the will of God. In Adam, whatever we desired to do was what God would have us desire to do. And in Adam, in the beginning, in perfection, whatever we determined that we would do is exactly what God would have us determine to do. With an upright will, the whole of our being was inclined unto God. And there is no conceivable existence for a human being that is higher and more blissful than to have perfect harmony between His will and God's will. God is perfect, so to be able to will exactly what God wills, now that is blissful harmony. That is sweet communion between God and man. But by the instigation of the devil, Adam willed against God. He desired to oppose God. He determined to rebel against God, and he chose to eat the forbidden fruit. And the consequence for Adam and all of his descendants was death. The death, and this is death, the death of having a will that is enslaved to sin. So that from a spiritual, moral point of view, all man, as a totally depraved human being, can will is that which is contrary to God's will. When natural man hears the gospel, his will is to refuse it. And when natural man sees the glory of the spacious heavens as that glory is declared unto him, his will is to deny the glory of God. But even when it comes to mundane earthly affairs, like choosing a spot in a parking lot, man freely chooses which spot he would like. No one forces him into one parking spot or another. But even that choice arises out of a heart that is spiritually and morally opposed to God, whether that is reflected in his choice of a parking spot or not. Since the fall, man's will is not aligned with, but contrary to God's will. Now man thinks he knows better than God, and he thinks he's wiser than God, and he thinks God is wrong and he is right. And man has no will to repent, no will to believe, and no will to obey God. What a wonder then is regeneration. What a marvelous thing the Holy Spirit does when He sovereignly and irresistibly comes into one of God's own elect children and renews the will so that we can desire and determine to do what God would have us desire and determine to do. And though we still have an old man of sin, and we can still will contrary to God and desire what is sinful and determine to do what is sinful, we also have a new man of righteousness. And Lord's Day 33 taught us that in the new man of righteousness, we delight to live according to the will of God in all good works. So presently then, there is a deep battle within all of us as the children of God. This battle is not found in the unregenerate, but it's a battle found in the regenerate. We have corrupt desires and corrupt determinations that arise out of the flesh, and we have holy desires and determinations that proceed from the Spirit within us, so that Jesus comes to us to teach us how to pray. And he teaches us that we should say in our prayers, Thy will be done. And Lord's Day 49 of the Heidelberg Catechism explains that petition as a request for grace to be able to renounce our sinful will and to obey God's will. So we pray, may thy will be done. Let's take that as our theme tonight. May thy will be done. Noticing first the will of God, second the obedience to it, and third the praying for it. God has one will. But because the scriptures use that word will in two different senses, we have come to understand a distinction that's familiar to us, and that's the distinction between the will of God's decree and the will of God's command. The will of God's decree is His eternal plan or His secret counsel. God's will then is whatever He has eternally determined that He will do according to His good pleasure. Let's say three things about God's will, God's counsel, God's plan. First of all, God's will is absolutely sovereign. God is not bound by, God is not governed by, God is not hindered by, God is not in any way limited by anyone or anything outside of Himself. But God sovereignly wills whatsoever He pleases. And in His sovereignty, He wills all things that are or ever shall be. Ephesians 1 verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. All things, even predestination, double predestination, God's election of some unto salvation and God's rejecting of others in the way of their sin, all things arise out of the will of God. Psalm 115, verses 2 and 3, Wherefore should the heathen say, Where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. What a grand statement of sovereignty. God has never been frustrated, as we are so easily frustrated all of the time, even when it comes to something simple as choosing a parking spot that we would really like, but there are none in the vicinity. Our will is so often frustrated, but God is never frustrated. God does whatsoever He pleases. Daniel 4, verse 35. Nebuchadnezzar himself was brought to confess, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay His hand or say unto Him, What doest thou? No one, not Nebuchadnezzar, but not even Satan, can stay God's hand, can interfere with God's providence as He works all things out according to the counsel of His own will. No one can halt God. No one can even question God and say, What doest thou? Not even Satan. In fact, God uses all opposition to Himself to serve the accomplishing of His purposes. God is absolutely sovereign. He wills according to His good pleasure. Whatever He wills, he accomplishes. Second, the will of God is good. That's the only thing the Catechism says about God's will. It is good. It is only good. The doctrine of a being who possesses an absolutely sovereign will and does whatsoever he pleases is undeniably the most terrifying doctrine conceivable. If that being is not God. Tonight we are talking about our God, the will of our God. And the will of our God is most excellent. It is praiseworthy. It is spotlessly pure because our God is God. To be God is to be infinitely good. But if we were not talking about our God, and instead an evil being who had an absolutely sovereign will, that would be the most terrifying thing that anyone could ever think of. Can you imagine the reign of terror that would exist if Satan had a sovereign will? And if Satan could execute all the base designs of his depraved will? You want to talk about fear? Think of Satan sitting on the throne of the universe. And right before the flood came, it almost appeared to be the case that Satan was on the throne of the universe in the worldwide violence. And when the Antichrist comes and wears out God's saints, it will look like Satan's on the throne of the universe as the gates of hell rage against God's beloved church. How terrifying to think of Satan as having a sovereign will and what that would mean for you and me today. And tonight, and in our personal lives, and in our homes, and in the church, Satan on the throne. It is so reassuring tonight to know, to believe, to confess that our God is absolutely sovereign. Because our God is good. David says in Psalm 143, verse 10, which we read, "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good." Thy spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is good. The Son is good. The Father is good. God is good. Psalm 100, verse 5, the children know this, "For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." 1 John 1, verse 5, "God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. The angels of heaven steadfastly behold God." They know who God is and what God is like, and they cry, Revelation 7, verse 12, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever." Our God is a good God. All His decrees are righteous. All the works of His hand are done in wisdom. We sinful creatures cannot determine what is good and what is evil. Our very first sin in Adam in the garden was the desire to be God, that we could determine good and evil. When wicked man decides that he will determine what is good and what is evil, then, for example, he takes something like sodomy, which is evil, and says, "This is good." And he takes something good, like training a little boy or a little girl in the Scriptures, and he says, "This is evil." We don't determine what is good and what is evil. God determines what is good, and good is whatsoever serves the advancement of God's kingdom for the hallowing of His name. And that's why our Lord Jesus taught us to pray first, hallowed be thy name, and second, may thy kingdom come, and third, may thy will be done. God's good will is to advance His kingdom in which all of His people are in Christ for the hallowing of His name. God's will is good, only good. Some things are good in themselves, but other things are evil in themselves, and yet they are ordained by God because He will work those things together for good. It's easy to see that God's will is good when David is coming off the field of battle as the champion and Goliath is lying dead in the dust. Victory! God is good. God's will is good. But it's harder to see that God, who works all things after the counsel of His own will, is good when David is, as he was in the historical situation of Psalm 143, in darkness. And his spirit was overwhelmed because one, probably Saul, was harassing him and persecuting him. And that was evil. And for that sin of persecution, Saul is fully responsible. But God ordained that evil. And He had a good purpose in it all. And it was for the advancement of His kingdom in David's heart. And it was ultimately for the hallowing of His own name as the great deliverer who would one day take this man David out of the darkness, harassed by an enemy, and set him on Israel's throne. God is good. You remember Joseph and how he was maliciously treated by his brothers, their hatred. They threw him into that pit and they sold him as a slave to the Ishmaelites. That was evil, and they meant it for evil, and they are fully responsible for everything they did, and God holds them accountable. But you and I have to take a step back and see the sovereign God who is working in all of those circumstances. And that's exactly what Joseph did after all of the history in Egypt played out, and the brothers came and it was revealed to them who this governor in Egypt was, their brother Joseph. That's when Joseph said unto them, Genesis 50 verse 20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. Brothers, you willed evil against me. But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. God willed it. God meant this. God intended this. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. And the cross is the supreme manifestation of God's goodness, the goodness of God's will. Of itself, the crucifixion was a heinous murder, and those who perpetrated that despicable crime have blood on their hands. They are guilty. They are responsible for God. But God ordained the crucifixion. Christ was delivered by God's determinate counsel. And through the actions of sinful man, God would bring His curse upon His own Son hanging on that cross for the establishment of His kingdom in righteousness and ultimately for the glorification of His own name. God is good. His will is good. And that truth is very practical for you and me. It means for us as God's dear children that we can look at all of the circumstances of our life, whether prosperity or adversity, whether light or whether, and this was the experience of David in Psalm 143, darkness. We can say all these things are willed by our sovereign and good God, and He will work them together for our good and for His glory. There's no doubt about that. God is good. The third thing to say about the will of God is that it is secret. What He has determined to do is hidden from us. Of course, God has revealed the main, the broad lines of His counsel to us so that we know what to expect in the future for the advance of His kingdom. We all know from the Scriptures, because God has revealed this to us, that everything is moving toward that one great day in which Jesus will appear visibly and bodily in the heavens in order to raise the dead and conduct the final judgment for the final separation of all human beings, as some will be cast into hell, body and soul, for their sins, and others will inherit everlasting life and body and soul in heaven. Everything's moving toward that day. And God has told us what things must come to pass before that day comes. So we know there will be wars and rumors of wars. We know that there will be abounding iniquity. What's going to happen in the future? We know there will be a great apostasy within Christianity. We know there will be great tribulation for us, such as the world has never seen. We know that, the broad lines. But as to the narrow lines and the details of God's counsel, we are ignorant. We don't know. We don't know what God will do. We don't know how everything will work together. David didn't know if he'd live another day. He didn't know if he'd come out of that darkness. He didn't know if he'd ever see the tabernacle again, or if he'd be the king when he was constantly harassed unto death. He didn't know. We do not know what God will do tonight. And we do not know what God will do tomorrow. But we do know that God is sovereign and God is good, and God will work everything together for our good. That we believe. Scripture also teaches us to conceive of the will of God as the will of His command. In this sense, God's will is not what He planned, but what He commands. Scripture uses the term will in this sense. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Hebrews 10, verse 36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. We must do God's will. And we know God's will because God has revealed His will, that is, His commands for us in the Scriptures. The will of God is revealed in the Ten Commandments, which are read every Sunday. The will of God is written in the sermon that was delivered from the Mount and found in our Bible in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. The will of God is written in all the imperatives of Scripture. For example, Colossians 3, 18 through 21. What's God's will for wives? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit in the Lord. What's God's will for husbands? Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. What's God's will for children? Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. What's God's will for fathers? Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. What's God's will for ministers? 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. What's God's will for elders? Acts 20, verse 28, elders, take heed unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. What's God's will for the deacons? Romans 12, verse 8, deacons, show mercy with cheerfulness. What's God's will for all of the brethren in the congregation of the upright? Philippians 4, verses 4 through 6, brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The will of God is revealed in the call or command of the gospel. Repent and believe. Acts 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. All these commands are the expression of God's will. God is sovereign. He determines how we shall live. God is good in all of these commandments. And those who keep these commandments say God's commands are not grievous. There is joy in walking in the commands of God. To make one more point about the will of God, we should say something about the relationship between the will of God's decree and the will of God's command. God's commands are never contrary to God's decree. God's commands are subordinate to God's decree. For example, God commanded Abraham to offer up his only son, Isaac. God decreed that Abraham would not offer up his only son, Isaac, but a ram. And there's no conflict because God decreed to command Abraham to offer up his only son, Isaac, but he had not decreed that it should take place. Beloved, we have just said a few things about the loftiest subject in the Bible, the will of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to the disciples when they requested, Lord, teach us to pray, and taught them the model prayer. And he said, pray this way, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Lord's Day 49 teaches us that this third petition is a prayer for obedience to the will of God's command. We are asking God for the grace to obey. May thy will be done by me, by us. Lord's Day 49, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That is, grant that we and all men may renounce our own will. We have a will that's sinful, and according to which we want to disobey God. In the old man, may we renounce our own will and without murmuring obey thy will, which is only good. We and all men, may all men renounce their own will and obey thy will, which is only good. The Catechism continues, that so everyone may attend to and perform the duties of his station and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels do in heaven. We want the grace to be able to obey as the angels in heaven. The angels steadfastly behold God, and they exist before the face of God, ready to do whatsoever God commands them to do. They delight in the will of God. And when God says, go announce the birth of my son, it is with great delight that the angel goes into the heavens below, above the shepherds, to announce the birth of God's son. Willingly they go, faithfully they go. They perform their station and duty perfectly. And Jesus teaches us to say, O God, may thy will be done by me here on this earth as willingly and faithfully as it is done in heaven by the angels, so that this petition is a prayer for the grace of obedience to God's commands. To put it differently, it's a prayer for the good spirit. In Psalm 143, verse 10, the psalmist says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, thy spirit is good. Teach me to do thy will. God's will is so plainly written in the scriptures. But we don't always see it. We don't always know what to do as far as some of the details of our life. We know the main calling. That's so clear to us every day. But in particular detailed situations, we don't always know what to say or not to say. What are we supposed to think about this or not think about this? What are we supposed to do? So we pray, teach me to do thy will. Teach me what thy will is, and then give me the to do. And there's where the good spirit comes in. David says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. It's a prayer for the good spirit so that we can do what God commands. And so the third petition of the Lord's Prayer is a prayer for the good spirit of obedience. Wives need the spirit of obedience. Otherwise, they will spurn the headship of their husband. And they will murmur against God and say, why do I have to submit to this kind of man? And husbands need the good spirit of obedience. Otherwise, they will selfishly ignore their wives or mistreat their wives. And they will murmur against God and say, why did you give me a wife that's so hard to live with? Children need the good spirit of obedience. Otherwise, they will break the rules of father and mother, and they will murmur and complain against those rules and say, why do we have to do this? Why can't we go here or there? Fathers, we all need the good spirit of obedience. Otherwise, we'll be too severe in our discipline, or we will behave foolishly in our conduct, or we will be unloving toward our wives, and that will provoke our children to wrath and cause them to murmur against us. Ministers need the good spirit of obedience. Otherwise, they'll preach error, or they'll stray away from the text and preach their own ideas, or they'll preach without rightly applying the Word of God to the congregation, or they won't preach at all and murmur against the task of preaching and the demand of it. Elders need the good spirit of obedience. Otherwise, they won't be diligent in overseeing the life of the congregation and making decisions for the building up of God's Zion, and the people will murmur against the elders. The deacons need the good spirit of obedience. Otherwise, they will perform the duties and functions of their office merely out of a sense of duty and without the requisite spirit of cheerfulness. And then God's people will murmur. All the brethren in the beloved congregation need God's good spirit of obedience. Otherwise, they will be careful for things. And that biblical expression means they will be anxious, full of cares, and they may even murmur against God's good providence. And they will not rejoice in the Lord and give Him thanks. David needed the good spirit of obedience in the darkness when his spirit was overwhelmed. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to rejoice in the Lord, his God. We all need the spirit of obedience. Otherwise, we will not heed the call of the gospel to repent, but we will ignore our sins and we will blame everyone else for our sins and we will justify our sins and we will say it's not our fault, and we might even blame God and say it's God's fault. We need the Spirit to pray, "May thy will be done," is to pray, says the Catechism, "May thy will, God, expressed in all of thy commands, may thy will be done by me as a wife, a husband, a child, a father, a minister, an elder, a deacon, a brother, a suffering saint in the church. Grant me the spirit of obedience." But beloved, there's one more command. For which we need the spirit of obedience. And it is the gospel's command to believe. God commands you and me to believe. And if we do not have the spirit of obedience, we won't believe. But we will deny God and His word. Moreover, even if we are believers, we need the spirit of obedience to believe. And now we're going to bring the will of God's command and the will of God's decree together. We need the spirit of obedience to believe that the will of God's decree, presently being worked out in our lives, is good, and that He will work it for our good, even though it's painful. God has decreed everything that comes to us, like the darkness in which David found himself as his spirit was fainting. And when we are in the darkness, when we are in the light, it doesn't matter where we are, prosperity or adversity, God always comes to us with the command, "Obey me. Do my will." What is thy will? "Believe in me." What meanest thou, O God? "Believe that the will of my plan, my decree, my counsel, being worked out in your life right now is good." Believe that. Confess that. And we can't do that. We murmur against God. We're anxious. We don't trust in God. We say the cross is too heavy. I want to quit. The burden is too great. I can't do it. I don't want to do it. I don't want God's will. But God says, "You must obey me." What is thy will? "Believe in me. Trust in me." We can't do that. So we pray, "May thy will be done by me." What? "May I believe in thee and trust thee. So give me the spirit of obedience that I may say, not my plan, not my plan for my life, but thy plan, the will of thy decree, may it be done in my life. And may I say, it is good. It's hard to renounce our own will and obey God's will. So Jesus teaches us to pray for the spirit of obedience. May thy will be done by me. And so, beloved congregation, how important it is then that we pray. Lord's Day 49 is an explanation of a petition of prayer. And that's the whole point of the sermon. The point of the sermon isn't merely to give us some instruction in the theological concepts of the will of God, not that merely, so that we have some knowledge of the truth of God's word. The point of the sermon is that we pray. And that was Jesus' point in teaching his disciples how to pray, not merely so that they'd have some head knowledge. We know what it means to pray, but so that they would bow their heads, fold their hands, and pray. Pray. Pray personally. Pray together as a family. And we pray together as a congregation, and we say, not our will, O God, but thy will be done. And we pray, teach us thy will. Show us what we ought to do. Show us the way, and give us the spirit then to obey. And teach us always to say that thy will is good. And when it's being worked out in our life, even if that means darkness for us, we say it is good. So pray for the spirit of obedience. And we do pray. This is a uniquely Christian prayer. We do want God's will to be done. This is one of the common petitions in the prayers of all of God's saints, young and old alike. And that's because we belong by faith to our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord's Day 1, which taught us that the comfort we have in belonging to Christ is that He makes us sincerely willing and ready to obey. And so we do pray, thy will be done. And for Jesus' sake, God hears and answers that prayer. For Jesus' sake. Who is like unto Jesus? The first thing we said tonight is we have a will. And God has a will. And the third petition is a desire for the aligning of our will with God's will. But now look at Jesus. And his will. Adam had a will. Adam had everything imaginable. What did he not have? And yet he got to the point where he was not content with what God had given him. Now look at Jesus. He was about to have everything taken away from him. And he was ready to offer his soul as a sacrifice for sins he didn't even commit. And he was there in the dark Garden of Gethsemane, perfectly content with God's will. And he expressed that when he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. His will was perfectly aligned with God's will. And he fulfilled the will of God. He fulfilled all righteousness for our sakes. And now it is for Jesus' sake that we pray, and God hears and answers the prayer so that He gives us His good spirit of obedience, so that we obey and submit to His will, which is only good. Isn't He generous? Look at all of the good things our rich Father gives us, so many riches. Isn't He good? He gives to us His good spirit of obedience, the Spirit of Christ, so that we can obey and submit. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we praise Thee for that grand work which we do not even fully understand. The work that occurred when the Holy Spirit came into the deepest recesses of our heart and made His abode there, and where He is tonight. He's in us, deep, deep within us. It's by His power that we are offering this prayer. And it's by His power that we will go home and pray. It's by His power that we want to obey. And it's by His power that we will say what no one would ever dare to say. That is to look at another, and we look at Thee, our great God, and we say, may Thy will be done. We say that from the heart. We mean it. May Thy will be done. And we know, we believe, it shall be good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.